not grievous for him to say the same thing again and again, because it is safe. So we want us to be safe, we want you to be safe. Amen. And so this morning we care about your safety, and I hope you too, you are thinking about your safety as we go through the scriptures. I would like to ask you, what was your biggest takeaway moment yesterday? Because yesterday we talked about location, where do you live? So,
well, thank you.
I'd like to share that with our audience.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, yesterday, you know, we began to understand the reality of the reason why Jesus gave us a model for prayer. And the second phrase was our Father who is in heaven. And then for me, I was able to see the reality of that statement, that it wasn't just about addressing the Father's location. It was about addressing my location. And Jesus knew that that was going to be a bomb. For somebody, a kind of explosion for you in your prayer life via that revelation. So we saw that connection yesterday. And if you've missed that transmission, please go and check it. Location report, where do you live? Don't forget, Jesus gave us this prayer as a model. He said, in this manner, pray you. He said, pray ye in this manner. So it means, as a believer, the Lord's Prayer, again, it's not just something that we're supposed to recite, hook, line, and sinker. It was meant to be a model. He said, in this manner, you pray. And we began to see the revelation that Christ intended for us to glean from that Lord's Prayer. And so yesterday was quite a great one, talking about location reports, where do you live?
And the last week we were talking about the DNA paternity test. Who is the father? So if you really want to get any of these, you know where to go. You go to our SPZ 247 page to listen to these videos, and we'll soon be adding the link to the YouTube channel. Yeah. So where you can have it in case you want to download them, if it is easier for you on YouTube than on Facebook. So this morning we will continue, and we want to continue with this Lord's Prayer. You know, we have a lot of grounds to cover on the Lord's Prayer. We've covered about the fatherhood, the paternity, and
the first phrase, and the second phrase,
which is where who art in heaven.
Amen.
So we want to take it further.
Viewers, thank you for joining us today on this Knockout series on prayer. Now, let's just give a kind of backdrop, a kind of background of where we are. We began to look at the pattern, the model of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want to call your attention to the fact that we've established in previous episodes regarding this particular aspect. We've established the first thing, that first of all, this Lord's Prayer is not a new covenant prayer, because John chapter 16, Jesus said, up to now you've not prayed in my name. And that was towards the end of his ministry. And don't forget, he gave the Lord's Prayer, in quote, at the beginning of his ministry. So if you're going to even pray at all, you couldn't just recite the Lord's Prayer, hook, line, and sinker. It's not even a new covenant prayer. But second point we've made and we've established is, this prayer was meant to be a manner, a model. Jesus said, in this manner, you pray. So we began to look at this as a model, not something for us to begin to recite, like some people do. And then we began to look at the implication of each of the phrases. There was something Christ had in mind when he mentioned each of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer. We've dealt with our Father. We actually dealt with that in one of the episodes. And we talk about location reports, where do you live, which is the second phrase. Now today, we're going to continue from where we stopped, and we trust the Lord to give us guidance and to lead us into all truth by looking at this today. Now let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 6, which is where we have this prayer from verse 9. If you can read, please. Matthew 6, 9. What does it say, please?
Okay.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
It reads.
Yes, please.
After this manner, therefore, pray.
After this manner, pray you, yes.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That's it. That's the next phrase we are on. Hallowed be thy name. Now, let's say this, the word hallow is a very old English word, which is where you can get something that is holy, something that is separate. And, you know, that's why we have the hallowed bread, the holy bread, the separate bread. So here is Jesus taking us to the third phrase in this model of prayer. He says, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Or you can say your name is sanctified. Or your name is separate. Now he says, this is the point he wants us to take note of in a place of prayer. Now I wanted to look at the strategy of Christ in this model. If you notice, the very next phrase, after hallowed be your name, what's the next thing? Now watch this.
Thy kingdom come.
There is a strategy to this. The next thing was thy kingdom come. It means this is even the very first demand on God. This is the very first request. The very first request was your kingdom come. Now before the very first request of your kingdom come, it was actually preceded by hallowed be your name. You see, your name is holy, your name is separate, and Christ put this there before the very first request saying your kingdom come. What does that tell you? There is something about separating his name or sanctifying his name or hallowing his name that introduces you to the right platform before you say your kingdom what? Come. It means you're going to make any request or demand on God at all. It says first, your entry point is separating his name. Now this word, let's now begin to break this down. What does it mean to hallow the name of the Lord? What does it mean to separate the name of the Lord? What does it mean to sanctify his name? And what is the implication for this in your prayer life? Now the question is simple. You see, if you look at 1 Peter 3:15, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to answer what? Every man who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. It means there's something about sanctifying the Lord in your heart and be ready to what? Answer every man. It means, he's simply saying every time we sanctify him or set him apart in our heart or separate his name in our heart, it affects the way we respond or react. It says sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready. Can you see? It affects you. So you couldn't say you are separating the name of the Lord or sanctifying the name of the Lord without it having an impact or something about the way you respond in the place of prayer. So let's get cracking. What is the name of the Lord? I want to know that first, because if you're going to hallow a name, if you're going to separate a name, if you're going to sanctify a name, then at least we should know what name are you what sanctifying. Unless we can identify what name we are referring to, there is nothing to what? Hallow. There's nothing to sanctify. There's nothing to separate in your heart. So come with us quickly and see this name of the Lord that you're supposed to hallow. How do you hallow the name? And also, like I said, I'll call your attention to the reality that this hallowing the name of the Lord introduces us to the very first request in the place of prayer, which is your kingdom come. So this is very critical now. This is very important. Now follow us quickly. What's the name of the Lord? What is that name? Now follow us quickly. And let's look at, Matthew 28:19. It says, hallowed be your name, the Father. Now, if you're asking, what name is that? Well, the very first point of the Lord's Prayer was our Father. So we can simply say the name is referring to is his name, the Father's what? Name. And then what does it mean to separate that name? What does it mean to set that name apart in our heart before we make our first request? Now look at Matthew 28:19. See what Matthew 28:19 has to say. Now watch this.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Well, it says baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. You know, from some of us, we probably don't think the Father has three names. And some people, when they actually pray, they do like this, name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. Don't forget we are looking for the name of the Father. It would sound to me that there are two things that are a bit, important there. If they were the names of three people, you would have said in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you check your Bible, your Matthew 28:19, use the word singular, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then by just simple grammatical understanding, we can simply say it sounds or seems that the name of the Holy Ghost, the name of the Father, the name of the Son is just only one name, because he didn't say in the names, he said in the name. Now, beyond just Matthew that we read, the Lord's Prayer, and it's in Luke 11:2, it's in Matthew chapter 9 as well. Beyond that, we now see that the name of the Father we are meant to what? Hallow or set apart is not just the Father's name, it's also what? The Son's name, it's also what? The Holy Ghost's name. Now, we're getting some insight into what that name is. And don't forget, it says in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It says baptized in that name. Now, let's check some other part of the Bible and get more insight. Can you go quickly to Acts chapter 2, verse 38? Don't forget, we're meant to baptize in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's see what Acts 2:38 has to say about in what names we baptize. Let's see what it says.
Then Peter said to them, repent.
Okay.
And be baptized.
Okay.
Every one of you.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hold on to that then. Now we're getting more insight into this name, because like I said to you, we are trying to track down the name. Unless we track down the name, there is nothing to hallow. There is nothing to sanctify. There's no name to set apart. So we're tracking down the name that we of the Father in the Lord's Prayer. Now in Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter gives us another level of insight into this name. Now, I wanted to compare, if you have your Bible there, compare Matthew 28:19 to Acts 2:38. Matthew 28:19 says, when you baptize, do it in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 28:19. But Acts 2:38 says, you should baptize. See the word baptize again. Note the word baptize. Baptize in the name of Jesus. So by simple reasoning and comparing, just by simple reasoning, it means you can then say, it will sound the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit that we should baptize in is the same as the name of Jesus. So when you talk about the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father who is in heaven, we set apart your name. The Father has a name. And it seems that the name of the Father is the name of the Son and is the name of the Spirit. And Acts 2:38 says, is the name of Jesus. Okay, now, we now begin to track down the name we're meant to hallow. You know, so every time you say in Jesus' name, the Bible is telling you and I, it's the name of the Father, it's the name of the Son, it's the name of the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at a third witness to this. Again, we need to know what name to hallow before we start talking about the sanctifying of the name. Now, let's see what Hebrews tells us. Let's look at Hebrews. This is a third testimony, Hebrews 1:4. Now we're beginning to find out what name is there to hallow before we begin to talk about the setting apart of that name. And how is that an implication for you in the place of prayer? Hebrews 1:4, the third testimony to this name we are meant to set apart in our heart when we're praying. Look at Hebrews 1:4 as a savior.
Being made this. So much better.
That's Jesus. Talking about the ministry of Jesus. He was made so much better.
Than the angels.
The angels, okay.
As he has by inheritance.
By inheritance.
Obtained.
That's Jesus. By inheritance, he obtained. Now watch what he obtained.
A more excellent name.
Okay.
Than they.
Now, he said the name of Jesus, he said he got it by what? Inheritance. Now, he said he had by inheritance obtained a what? A more excellent name. I mean, if you get something by inheritance, it would mean that your father gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 1:4 tells you and I that Jesus' name is far better than every other name. He said, because by inheritance, I call your attention to that word, he had obtained a more what? Excellent name. He didn't say he obtained a more excellent property or more excellent goods or more excellent power. He could have said that, which is true in some other verses of the Bible. He didn't say a more excellent status, which he could do, which actually could say from other Bible passages. But it says, Jesus obtained a more excellent name. And that's the word, by inheritance. It would mean that the Bible says he inherited the what? The name. Now, this is the third conclusion for you and I to know that the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit is the what? The name of Jesus. So, now, going back to the Lord's Prayer, when it says, hallowed be your name, or let's set apart the name of the Father, it means we now know that that name is what? The name of what? Of Jesus. So let's put it in context. When it says, hallowed be his name, or set apart his name, in the place of prayer, you are setting apart the name of what? The name of Jesus. So we know what name is referring to. It's not ambiguous. It's not vague. It's the name of Jesus. When you say in Jesus' name, it's the name of the Father. In Jesus' name, it's the name of the Son. In Jesus' name, it's the name of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we've seen. We've identified what name it is. Now let's talk about how do you, as a Christian, how do you, as someone who comes to God in the place of prayer, how do you set apart that name? Now, I want to call your attention to this. Setting apart the name of Jesus or hallowing the name of Jesus is not something that is mystical that you think, okay, I believe I'm hallowing the name. I'll tell you how you're going to know. I'll call your attention again to 1 Peter 3:15. That it says, sanctify the Lord God in what? In your heart and be ready. It means, it says, I would know. If you are sanctifying that name, there's an action, there's a readiness, there's a response that would evoke out of you that can make you say, yes, we know you are what? Sanctifying that name. So sanctifying and setting apart is something active, is something that yields a level of response from you. So you couldn't say you are doing that without some level of response and readiness in you. And that's what we're going to look at today. How do you set apart the name? How do you elevate the name? How do you actually set it apart and sanctify the name of the Lord in the place of prayer? Now, it means the name of Jesus. Now, we're coming back now to the name of Christ. Now, let's go quickly and see. What about the name that you need to set apart? What about the name of Jesus? What is in the name? What is in that name? Why would the Lord Jesus say, hallowed be his name before you make your first request? What is in that name. That's what we're going to investigate today. Now for us quickly to the book of Acts chapter 3. What is in the name? The power of Anthony, what is in the name? Now what does it say in Acts 3, 1? We're going to start from that. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. In the place of prayer, please don't look at me. I've come in the name of Jesus. I've not come in my name. I've come in the name of Christ. So the Father will treat you. The Father has to treat you exactly the same way he's going to treat Jesus Christ. That's what it means to come in the name of Christ. And we all know this in legal terms. If you heard about what we call the power of what? Anthony. When you grant somebody the power of Anthony, the person can operate business exactly as if it was you that was operating the business. Talking about praying in the name of Jesus is a very big issue. You are asking God the Father, treat me exactly the way you would have treated Jesus. And you and I know how we would treat Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son. In my word. So that's what we are introducing you, introducing you to today. We're talking about the hallowing, the sanctifying, and the separating of his name when you come to the place of prayer. Let's go to Acts 3 and see what the Lord has to say to us. Acts 3 from verse 1. What does it say, please?
Now Peter and John
went
up together into the temple at the hour of prayer.
Okay.
Being the ninth hour.
Okay.
Yes. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried.
Okay.
Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful.
Okay.
To ask alms of them that enter into the temple.
Okay.
Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
Look on us.
And he gave heed unto them.
Okay.
Expecting to receive something of them.
He wanted to receive something. Okay.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none.
Okay.
But such as I have.
Now watch what Peter has. Such as I have. Now, give I you. Now, well, before we go into the next verse, let's see what Peter has. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold. Well, even though that's not our focus today, we can simply say, the testimony of Peter saying he has no silver and gold should tell you that there was something about the financial ministry of Christ Jesus. Because how can another person like Peter not have a bank account or something like a financial reserve he could get something for to give to this man? It would mean that Jesus technically carried all their financial burdens. I mean, you know, they were buying stuff. Even when they were in the wilderness, they wanted to buy the food. So they had a bank account with Christ, and then all the responsibilities financially must have been on Christ. That's why Peter said, well, you know what? I don't have any silver and gold here. So that tells you about the grace that was at work in the life of Christ when he was in the flesh on the earth. Now, Peter said, that which I have.
When they went to the disciples, is responsible, just like Paul too was able to say that even I'm getting not for myself and for those people that were there. So when they need to go out to eat, when they need to make all the provision, when I sent you, you make sure you he assumed the responsibility. Did you lack anything?
So, no,
so that was
anything.
The thing. So he was responsible for them as a group. So today is a challenge to people that are handling ministries and everything. I feel like are we responsible for this? Are we not just making the people dry?
Jesus was so responsible for the disciples that Peter had no bank account. And yet, they were living life.
And so when he sent them out, he said, did you lack anything? And nobody could say no.
Oh, yeah.
They answered him, we never lack. When he sent them forth, then there was a question like that. Is something for us to learn? Is something we can learn? Most people who like Paul, they like Paul in everything, but they don't like Paul in that aspect. They wanted to be like Paul in writings. They want to be like Paul in the covering of the ministerial journeys and so, but nobody wants to be like him in the way he actually handled ministry finances. In which he was able to get the labor for himself and those that are with him.
Amen. Amen. Now let's see what Peter said he has. Now, because we want to find out what he has. What is the asset?
Before we go into that, some people, they take pride in that they not having the gold and silver like Peter, but they cannot claim of what they have. They say they don't have gold and silver, but yes, Peter said, I do not have gold and silver, but what I have.
Yeah.
So they must have something.
Yeah, you must have something. And then, again, let's see what he has. Let's see the asset that Peter has actually treasured so much that he thinks he can offer this man.
So I'm taking from verse 6 again.
Okay.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee.
I'm going to give you what I have.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay. Can you see? I thought when Peter said, what I have, I'm going to give to you. I thought it was some kind of, unction or some kind of supernatural anointing, some kind of virtue or some kind of capacity to do miracles. So you can mention lots of things that people look for to say, well, that man, God is using him, because if you see, he said he's been on the mountain and then he's seen 25 angels, or he has four angels that are working with him. You know, some people say, well, if I pray for you, things will happen in your life because I've got three angels that God assigned to me. That's what I have. And people claim that they have this, and have, some even say what I have is some level of supernatural experience or some kind of supernatural exposure that is not normal and it's not usual. So if I declare over your destiny, something will happen. But I was expecting
some
Peter
anointing.
Yeah, and I was expecting Peter to say, when Peter says, such I have, well, Peter, if you have something, tell me something so great. Peter said, in the name of Jesus. Come on, Peter, tell me something else. I mean, tell me you got something.
Yes.
You see, then so and you see, Peter said, "Such I have, I'll give to you." And I was expecting it, Peter packaged it. You know, people talk about in the business world that packaging
is everything.
Is everything.